Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan as we are live from Freebirds in Irving off of North MacArthur. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors and Kyle Yeomans.
Kevin,
Kyle
I just got a Yeomans. I got a an exclusive offer from Underdog, so I'm going to need a few minutes to go check out and see what that
$5
is. $5
play, baby.
Yeah, all right, so we'll check that one out later on. Right now, though, it is our good friend Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com. Kyle, how are we doing today, good sir?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. How are you guys?
I am.
Well, that kind of depends now, doesn't it, Kyle?
What is that? Are you about to shake him down again?
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
No, I already shook him down. That's ongoing.
I'm still waiting for an email back, Kevin. I sent an email this morning, or not this morning, but whenever I texted you that morning, and I'm still waiting on an email back. But I'll get it to you. I know I'm past the deadline, but I'm working on it.
I just want to let you know that Kyle is just the nicest person. He does not have to answer that question on air, and he still does anyway. And that's look at Kevin.
Doesn't he have to answer that question,
Kyle,
on air?
What the this weekend? How important is it for all the Rice students to not show up and get their free beer?
Isn't that funny that they're giving out free beer to any student with a legal 21-year-old ID and then also a student ID to just try and cheer on their Rice Owls against North Texas this week, which is just not a good matchup for Rice.
Kyle, have we figured out the restrictions on that? Like, do they have a system that's going to say you already got your free beer, or are these people going to be hopping from place to place?
I have been to that stadium, Kevin. I have called a
no
game
hopping.
In that stadium. There's not going to be any system. It's going to be pure bedlam. I think it's going to be. I wish I could get down there. I really do. It's going to be a really fun environment, but man, I hope they hired extra security, because even the security that we had because I called the week 2 game down there, Houston and Rice, and there was minimal people in the building. Of course, that was a rivalry game, and there's still not a ton of security. They need to have everyone on deck, because if I know anything about Rice, those students, those nerds down there don't know how to handle their alcohol. So we're going to have to deal with that throughout the course of the game.
That's what Broadus said yesterday,
you know what?
Too. He was like, they're a bunch of nerds.
I'm really glad that you said that, Kyle. And I'm sure, as you've already learned, a lot of times I like to shoot my mouth off. One of the times I showed restraint was in high school, where this girl who is in our same graduating class, she did very, very well. She might have actually ended up being the valedictorian now that I think about it. She was known as a rampant cheater in academics, including getting all her computer science programs from her boyfriend who had taken the class the year before. But I want to let you know, when they announced that she had gotten into Rice, I just sat there and didn't say anything.
Because she's a nerd.
Even though I wanted to be like, yeah, if I cheated in half my classes, sure. But I just didn't say anything, Kyle.
Wow, I wonder how she did down there. I wonder if she was able to continue her cheating down in Houston, because you know they do not mess around with that stuff. There's a couple things they take seriously down there, and that is one of them.
That being said, Kyle, 66 years in the making, here we are. We get this opportunity in front of us. What is your feeling about the way that this season can end out for the UNT Mean Green?
Yeah, like you said, ranked for the first time in the AP poll since 1959. They're playing their best football right now. They are They are firing on all cylinders offensively. They've got one of the best passing attacks in all of football. Wide receivers to throw it all to. And they've got Caleb Hawkins, who's one of the best freshman running backs in the country, and really Drew Mestemaker putting it all together. So offense is great. The defensive side has been doing a good job of forcing takeaways, especially early in games. I mean, UAB had zero opportunity on in the first quarter on offense to make any kind of leeway against North Texas. So they're playing their best football. They've got two games left to try and make it 11-1 and secure themselves a spot in the American title game. Right now it looks like Tulane would probably host, yep, but North Texas would be in. And if you're able to do that, I think I would put them up against any American Conference team they would play right now. I really do. So I have a lot of hope, a lot of optimism when it comes to North Texas down the stretch. I know they're dealing with a little bit of the injury bug on the defensive side of the football. They lost one of their starting linebackers this past week, which is going to be a big loss for them. But for the most part, this is a good football team, and I hope they keep winning games down the stretch and take advantage of everything that's in front of them.
For all the current and future Mean Greens out there, this is a big time. If you went there, if you've been involved with this school for a long time, this is a really cool opportunity for UNT. So that's why we're bringing it to the forefront here, Kevin, as we get ready for this Cowboys weekend.
And then y'all are actually the Eagles.
Stop it.
Does anybody ever say that?
What are you doing right now, dude? No, we're the Mean Green. That's what we're going to play.
It's just weird why that official change hasn't been made. I feel like nobody in the history of ever says, oh, yeah, the Eagles.
No, that's not the way. We'll forget about that for now, Kevin.
Okay.
Let's move forward,
right,
though. Let's look
the other Eagles?
Yeah, let's look at the other game now.
Let me phrase this question correctly. How do you feel about the very resistible force in the Eagles' third down offense against the very movable object that is the Cowboys' third down defense? Because these two units are awful. So the Eagles are 29th in the league in third down offensive conversion rate, and the Cowboys are straight up dead last by quite a bit in third down conversion rate on defense. I know a lot of games can come down to third down, but this feels like weakness versus weakness, and whoever can take control can dominate this game.
Yeah, I agree with you, and it's interesting because you wouldn't think the Eagles would be bad.
I would not.
Third down, because of whenever you talk about what they do from a tush-push standpoint, right? Their short yardage situation should be really easy to deal with, but that hasn't been the case. You know, like they haven't been able to have the success on that side. But are we sure that Dallas? I'm bringing this up sort of tongue in cheek, so stick with me for a second. Are we sure they haven't fixed their third down defense? I mean, they held Vegas to 3-for-12 on third down. Are we sure that hasn't just completely been repaired with the additions of Quinnen Williams and Logan Wilson? I think now saying that tongue in cheek doesn't feel right.
No, and you might be right. It's just how bad they have been, like so much worse than they were giving up 53% of third downs. 18 of 32 teams in the NFL, more than half, their conversion rate allowed was lower than 40. So, the gap was unbelievable. And you might be right. And that's the thing is, it feels like a lot of these defensive statistics are obviously going to be redefined or potentially redefined in, the next 3 weeks. So I think we might look at a lot of things going into, hopefully, post-Detroit, where you're like, oh, yeah, the Cowboys are 23rd in overall defense. And that doesn't sound good, but you're like, oh, my God, it's awesome. Do you know how bad we were before? So I'm with you on that.
Well, that's kind of been the whole conversation is you need, because of how good this offense is, and you really do have confidence as a Cowboys fan in what this offense can do, and you should. But the defense just needs to be serviceable. You just need to be middle-of-the-road good enough to win you football games. And I think what they showed against the Vegas Raiders, it was all good. It was check the box. You controlled the line of scrimmage. You were good on third down. You gave some pass rush. You didn't allow but 27 yards on the ground. I mean, all of those things are good, and you can only play the opponent that's in front of you. But sure. You, like you said, you're going to learn a lot about just how much of an impact these additions and the return from injury and the different look on the defensive side, how different it really is over these next 3 weeks, because you've got three straight offenses that are at least talented. I don't want to say Philadelphia is firing on all cylinders, because they're not, especially offensively. They're bottom five in the league in terms of passing attack, too. Saquon Barkley is still very much so a top running back, but they haven't run the ball as effectively as they have in the past.
And so, they all hate each other.
Yeah, and then there's that element to it, too. I think you're going to learn a lot about just how big of a step it is this week. Because if they come in and they do the same thing against Philly that they did against Las Vegas, and they're able to hold them to under 100 yards rushing, and they're able to have some success on third down, then I think you can start looking at maybe this is a chance to make a run and this defense is completely upended.
I am kind of curious what has been, because I did draft Saquon Barkley, number one. He was like number six in the fantasy draft this year, and I've been a little disappointed. What's been the reasoning like for him to them not being able to run the ball as successfully? And I think a little bit does have to do with the fact that Kellen Moore is a pretty good offensive coordinator. But beyond that, sure. What do you see? What have you seen out of them?
Well, they're banged up front. I mean, their interior offensive line has been struggling recently. I mean, of course, without Lane Johnson, too, that's a big loss at left tackle. But it's really been the interior guys. When you turn on the film, I don't think Landon Dickerson's been playing as well. Cam Jurgens has been a little banged up. He's been playing through injury, kind of in and out of the lineup. Tyler Steen hasn't been great as well up front. Their interior has allowed for, one, pressure to Jalen Hurts from the inside, which I think Kenny Clark and Quinnen Williams are going to look at on the film and say they have an opportunity to really make an impact this week. But there's not as many running holes to go through for Saquon Barkley. He just hasn't had the blocking up front, the road grader mentality that Philadelphia has had on their offensive line over the last few seasons just isn't there. And so I think while Barkley hasn't had his best year, I don't think it's all on his shoulders. At some point, you're going to see a regression for Barkley. He's not going to run for 2,000 yards every year like he did a season ago.
Fine.
But I still think it's all the offensive line and him kind of combined to see a little step back in that area.
Speaking of Quinnen Williams and that bunch and what they did they just look like they were firing off the ball at a different tempo or a different pace? Like they did look more aggressive right there in the middle of that defense.
Yeah, well, when you've got guys around you that are going to do their job and you trust them to do your job, then all of these guys are going to get out of their stance and get off the block a little bit quicker. I think one of my favorite film study moments from last week, there's a play where Ashton Jeanty was given the ball. It was a handoff that was supposed to go to the right side. He kind of cut back left and ran into a wall where Malik Hooker and Donovan Ezeraku kind of combined for a tackle on the left side of the line of scrimmage. But when the ball was snapped, before Ashton Jeanty had the ball, DeMarvian Overshown is at the second level, and he's already a step and a half toward the line of scrimmage. It wasn't a delayed blitz. It wasn't a blitz look. He was playing run and reading run, but he knew the guys in front were going to eat up multiple blockers. And that's exactly what Quinnen Williams did. Or excuse me, that play, it was actually Kenny Clark and Osa Odighizuwa. Those two guys were the ones in the middle. Quinnen Williams wasn't even on the field, but the read and react from the second level has seen such a step forward in just a couple of weeks, just having those guys around, that I think there's trust in the front seven that you haven't seen in the past. And the Raiders' offensive line is not very good. Right. Even with Philadelphia's line not playing the way that they have been, they're still better than what Las Vegas put out there last week. So it's going to be a step up in challenge, but at the same time, if there's trust within the guys around you, then you're able to play free and you're able to play fast. And I think that's what these additions have done for that Dallas front seven.
You know what? And I'm glad you mentioned that particular play and those two particular players in Kenny Clark and Osa, because I do not feel like it's out of line to say Kenny Clark has had an up and down season and Osa has had a disappointing season. So to me, it's not just what Quinnen Williams does himself, but his direct impact on those two that we've already.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work day to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty seen in one game, but it feels like it could be huge going forward.
Oh, it could be monumental. And Quinnen, after the game, even talked about it. When they asked him about his performance, he quickly turned it around and pointed to all the guys that he's getting to play with. And I think that the pairing for Kenny Clark and Quinnen Williams has everybody excited, and for good reason. They're two of the best veteran defensive tackles in all of football right now. So them playing next to each other is great. But I don't know if there's going to be a guy that benefits more out of the Quinnen Williams addition than Osa Odighizuwa, because he has another voice in the locker room, another guy to learn from. Even in the sounds of the sideline clip this past week, you saw Quinnen Williams coaching up guys like Donovan Ezeraku. All these guys that are around the interior, whether they're on the interior or on the defensive line or even in the second level, they're going to benefit from having two veteran guys that they can go to and learn from immediately. And that's part of the invaluable side of this trade that Cowboys fans won't see unless it happens on the field. But it's going to take a little bit of time, and I think it could be bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Thank you very much. As always, good sir. We will we'll have to figure out another time. Maybe catch up with you on Wednesday.
Yeah, we can talk with him a piece on if you're available.
Yeah. So yeah,
I'll text you. We'll do this. I'll text him and we'll have this conversation
I've put enough public pressure on Kyle today. That's a fair point. Seriously though,
You know what's really funny, Kevin? You were talking earlier about North Texas being the Eagles and being green or whatever.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring this up, too. You said, do you ever hear about that every once in a while? I will say I've worn North Texas gear to the Star a couple times, and I'll go down to the lunchroom and get food, and I'll just, like, get breakfast or whatever going into the podcast. And as I'm going down to get food, all these guys – on the Cowboys coaching staff that all they know are SEC and Big Ten football.
They stare you down, don't they?
And I've had some dirty looks the last couple of years when I have a North Texas. So I've started purchasing North Texas gear that spells it out, and it says North Texas or Mean Green or something. And I rarely wear that Eagle logo anymore, even though I think it's a sweet logo and a great look. But I don't wear that in the building as much as I used to, because I would get these weird looks of, why is this guy wearing green Eagles gear in the Cowboys facility? What is this idiot doing? And so it does. It plays a factor, but I'll always bleed green and bleed blue at the same time, and it's going to be a fun weekend for sure.
Man, I love it. I'm happy for both of y'all when it comes to UNT football as well. We will catch you at an undetermined time soon.
I'm sending him a text right now, yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Kyle.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
There you go. Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com. Now, Corey, I'm hoping we can switch it up just a little bit. Fear not. There will still be Masterpiece of the Week coming up next. I'm hoping we can dive back into Cowboys-Eagles some more because there's a couple of other like numbers and things happening that I think could be relevant to this game.
I say we put it to a vote.
All right. So
between you and me, okay. I say yes.
Okay, I also say yes.
Look at that.
So we will do that, but don't worry. We'll still give you Masterpiece of the Week as well next right here on The Fan.
Eight back in coverage this time for Minnesota. Hurts pointing, throwing, trying to find a loose man. It's A.J. Brown. He's in. Touchdown, Eagles, on the opening drive.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. You can boo the highlight all you like. Live from Freebirds in Irving off of North MacArthur. We have had a lot of fun today. I believe we might have just given our last cutting board away. All right, but that item was outstanding, and obviously I'm going to keep our promotional person here and try to shake him down for more stuff for Peace-a-thon. I don't know if that's going to go well.
Hey, what do you have left over
yeah,
in that
exactly.
room, that little storage
exactly.
room?
Exactly. You don't want it.
It
I'll
is the most
it.
Giant storage room ever, by the way. It pretty much takes up the whole building.
Do you think it's like the same size as where they put the Ark?
Yeah, yeah pretty
okay.
much. Or the Ark
right.
of the Covenant.
All right. I like that. Now, I want to go back to some Cowboys-Eagles things because we've talked about this game a whole lot because it's Cowboys-Eagles week. Like, that's just how it goes. But there are a few other things that I thought were relevant that I wanted to go back to. We've talked a lot about how the Eagles have only turned the ball over four times.
Okay.
But they're also averaging about a turnover forced per game, which means their turnover margin this year is plus six. That's seventh best in the NFL. So to go all the way back to the Cowboys win because Cowboys lose because about an hour and 20 minutes ago, give or take, that is a big part of it, is not only do the Eagles not really turn the ball over, their defense has forced a decent amount of turnovers this year, and that leads to a really impressive plus-minus ratio. And this feels like a game to me. And if I'm wrong, I'm fine with however the Cowboys can win this game. But this feels like a game, and you're going to see a lot of these down the stretch, that if the Cowboys lose the turnover battle, I do not believe they can win.
Yeah, and I feel like they can be a pretty clean team. I am starting to get to a point where I am starting to be a little concerned with fumbles from Javonte.
Yep.
Not that he's like, he didn't lose that fumble, but the ball came
but
out.
But still.
And I was like, man, I just hope this thing isn't even questionable. And there have been a couple of moments in this season that I've been like, dang. But for the most part, they've been a pretty clean team. They haven't forced a lot enough of them.
Like, that is also.
And I also go back to that Dan Quinn era. Like, we were spoiled with the amount of turnovers that team forced at the time. I'm with you, man. This needs to be a very clean game on the Cowboys front. With Jalen Hurts, though, he's been very clean. And so that's another – it's difficult to get the ball away from them.
And that's the thing. I might make it as simple as this. My number of the game might be one. If the Cowboys can get one turnover in this game for their defense, I think that will
just
be
– one.
Just one. I think that will be a huge deal because, like I said,
all right,
Eagles
so,
have only turned it over four times all year.
So it'll be Deron Bland is on A.J. Brown. All right, and A.J. Brown catches the ball and then just looks at Bland and goes, here, you take it. I hate these guys. And then he just steps off to the sideline.
See, I actually think it'll go a little bit different than that. I think Hurts will see good coverage, and he'll be like, all right, put this on your stat sheet. And he'll throw it to Deron Bland and be like, oh, I tried to throw it to A.J. Brown, but it's intercepted. I just don't want to force that anymore. Like, you know, that's because the hate is real.
Yeah, so double cover Smith is what you're saying, and just don't even worry about
yes.
Brown.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you can bait him into that. Absolutely.
Yes.
And then another thing to watch out in this game, how much does George Pickens pick up after the catch? You know, we were talking about, like, when he turns inward to the left especially, it seems like not only does he get that catch, but he's adding a lot of yak, and I've got the numbers to back that up now. He had 144 yards receiving on Monday night. 77 of them were after the catch.
Really?
That means he had more yards after the catch than he did with the catch. And that's a huge thing because you've seen that all across the season. That's the eighth most yards after catch by a receiver this season. And George Pickens specifically, he's the second most yards after catch this year. So if you want to look at another thing where the offense is able to excel, watch what he can pick up after the reception. And if he can do that against the Eagles as well, I feel like that's going to pave the way for a very good afternoon.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed about that too is Dak historically isn't very good at hitting guys in stride.
Yes, I
agree
with that.
For some reason with Pickens,
he
is.
Man, I agree with that too.
And I told you yesterday, maybe a couple days ago, about how watch how he hits him in the eyeballs. Like every pass seems to be right at his face mask. And I think Pickens, like, that's very similar to the Mavericks. You know, where do I want to receive the ball? If I receive it here, this helps me in this spot. And Dak's been very good with Pickens at that specifically, and that's helping him pick up those extra yards for one. But I also think it has something to do with these. Pickens isn't the fastest guy.
Sure.
But he has this fluid speed that's very conducive to what I think Dak is doing too. So I think Dak finds him on these routes on that left side that are just real strong. So it's fun to watch right now, man.
You know what? And I'm glad that you really said that, because I am definitely a person who thinks sometimes those 40s are overrated. And I'm like, let me see.
Jaden Blue.
Yeah.
Ran a 4.2, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. And they're like, just get him in space. Okay, what if your player can't get in space?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of other factors that go into being a great player.
And so this is harder to quantify, but George Pickens looks fast in his route and his post route.
Yes, he does.
I will take that over every receiver the Raiders have ever wanted to draft any day of the week.
And his physical, like his just size?
Yes.
He's able to box out so well.
You know, he's starting to remind me of just a little bit, and this is going to sound weird, Mikko Rantanen. In terms of he can put points on the board offensively, and he can kind of kick somebody's ass along the way. You know?
And he might have an embellishment penalty every once in a while.
100%. I'm with you on that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for Masterpiece of the Week.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Up, Alec? Good, man.
You are in one of the most wonderful establishments on the planet, so I'm not surprised that you guys are doing well.
See, Alec, I got a good news, bad news situation here. We've been so busy that I haven't been able to eat my burrito.
Yeah. Mm.
But the positive is car burrito, or probably more likely home burrito.
Dude, that car burrito with that, because of the way it's wrapped, it's easy to make that a car burrito.
That's right.
An absolute fact right there.
True.
And I also want to compliment the staff here at Freebirds, too.
Super nice
people. They're awesome.
Agreed.
It is time for Masterpiece of the Week. We are going to revisit the wild, wacky, odd, and oftentimes very concerning things said on this
program. Time it's ever been concerning.
That's what the whole segment is going to be. Things are concerning that we do.
You know what, Corey? Since you want me to name one thing, how about we lead off with you? This is kind of concerning. You said this.
Hey, I want you to cryogenically freeze my body.
All right.
I had this talk with Adrian last night, and Avery, my oldest son, he was like, What did he say? The same thing I said. You know that whenever you die, she's going to be waiting for you. And you when you gave up on cryogenically freezing her.
That's big facts.
And Adrian.
And Adrian, more than most women, will be waiting for you.
She absolutely was like, yeah, there's no way that you're gonna move on and find love after me. And you know what? I never will. I promise.
Aww. Yeah, you'll find, like, love for a little bit at a time.
Nope.
Huh.
No, I don't need it. I've had enough.
A few minutes?
Nope.
Not
at all.
That is, I call BS on that.
Well, you know what, Kevin? Hopefully we never have to
That's
see that
point.
Happen.
Yeah, it would be really wrong if you went on a date and she had died, and I was like, oh, in your face, Corey? And I'm like, wait, that doesn't feel okay. So never mind. Back to you, Alec.
I want to know if this exists in the afterlife, Corey.
Maybe we can get the golden pipe?
All right. This is going to sound weird.
By the way, I do think the golden pipe is an option.
I had a conversation with somebody about the golden pipe yesterday. Now, what that entails that I've been trying to pitch is that this is relevant
this
to
is
the conversation,
a real thing,
Alec.
Too, Alec. Jeez.
Is a piece-a-thon certificate for a plumber that will take care of whatever the job is. Huh. Now, I failed in my first attempt to convince somebody, but they're going to have something else really cool for Peace-a-thon. I've got somebody else who is going to give me an answer today that will make it work. But I shoot for the stars. I also know a medical administrator, and I tried to get a golden ticket to a hospital where, like, whatever it is, you break both your legs, you have a heart attack,
golden
you don't
ticket.
Have insurance. Doesn't matter. Golden ticket. I was not able to convince her that we could have that.
Well, I kind of understand that because, you know, stuff gets expensive. And
but if you don't ask, you'll never know, right?
That's fair. Yes, that is very fair. I digress. I guess this is fair, Kevin.
Like an unsaid compliment is you see all these players that you did it with and then they're like, huh.
That's what they say, huh. That kind of lifestyle.
What was I trying to say? Because otherwise it sounds like I'm a philanderer.
Yes, that's true.
Somebody help me out. See,
that's the dude, that's the neighbor from The Simpsons?
Philanderer? Oh, yeah, Flanders. Yeah.
No, it's not Ned Philanderer. that feels like that would have changed the dynamic of him and Homer quite a bit. I hate this. And well, no, I'm not saying Ned and Homer were going to have sex. I'm saying it just would have been different. That's what you were getting at, you jerk.
Ned was ripped, though. You
Man,
know what I'm saying?
He was. Probably because he used the cruciflex.
That's true.
Gosh.
You want to have those abs.
Corey has a very important proclamation, rather, to make.
I have thumbs. That's true. I do have thumbs, and that's why I...
Oh, I thought you said phones. No. Can you play that one more time?
I have thumbs. Yeah. Because you were asking about the yes thumb, no thumb.
Yeah.
Would you like to explain that?
No.
I mean, yes, I would, but I should not.
Because the bosses.
And because of my... employment
and the FCC.
Yeah.
But
it with the feedback, you'll agree, Alec, that we got was overwhelmingly yes to the thumb.
Oh, it was. And Kevin, I feel like this might actually go hand in hand with what you said yesterday.
Oh yeah, we're married for like 60 years, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna hook up with this gal.
Okay. That was from the San Junipero episode of Black Mirror.
Uh-huh.
Where I feel like not enough attention was paid to this. She
I don't
was
think
like,
enough people have seen that show.
That show's awesome.
I've heard, but you told me I can only watch like
yes.
one episode at a time,
no,
and then I had to take a break.
You can maybe watch two. There's just one particular episode that broke me down so hard that I needed to leave the house. I didn't even have anything I needed to do. I just needed to get out of the house where I had watched that episode, and most of them have not very happy endings. San Junipero might be different depending on your take about that gal being like, eh, we were married long enough. See ya.
Oh, okay. Well, it's hard to pivot from that, but Corey has something else very important to share with you guys.
Did I tell you one day I saw a priest? I did. It was in the rear view because I was driving to work and I looked up and I saw a dude and what's that called? The collar thing. What's that called?
Oh,
shoot.
Yeah, I'm glad you censored yourself.
I know.
Lord knows
habits
I
for
myself.
None. Uh-huh. Dang it.
Anyway, the people that know, the somebody out there probably knows. I saw the collar and I was like, that dude's a priest. I didn't stop him and talk to him, but, you know, at that moment, that's when I knew.
Oh, okay. Well, Corey, you might need a priest after this.
So I just think it's amazing they have two Johnsons. One is the starter, and then the other Johnson just like, I got you. Don't worry about it. I'll fill in. This is the Eagles. They have two left tackles that are both last name Johnson.
So
that's a fact.
When I was in high school,
where is this going?
I had a science class. You know exactly where it's going. I had a science class, and they talked about sharks. And they said, do you know that sharks have two penises? And
oh, my God.
I
Kevin.
Could not stop laughing. And my teacher, rightfully so, she took my textbook away and she goes, you can have this back when you deserve it. And I thought she was right. But also I thought, I don't know if threatening a student with taking away your textbook, it was as impactful as she thought.
Oh, good point.
But, you know what? Based on her logic, I probably still shouldn't get that book back.
Let's see. Kevin.
Yeah, no, you've heard this show.
Kevin said this.
Come on. Let him hump the goalposts if he wants.
I don't.
That was about George Pickens, and I want you to play that one more time, and I want you guys to notice this. Whenever you hear a nonsense clip from Corey, who's in the background supporting him? Me. But whenever I say something, who's in the background not supporting me? Corey. Listen to it again. Come on, let him hump the goalposts if he wants.
I don't think that he was trying to do. I think he was sliding down it.
Yeah. Well, guess what? It looked like he was humping the goalposts.
Uh-huh.
That was about George Pickens, and I think you should be allowed to do that. I don't understand why that gets a flag. You're excited.
You can't score
a touchdown.
You can't do more than two pumps.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you can't even do two pumps. Rico Dowdle got fined for that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody scored a touchdown. Whenever they're like, well, if you don't like it, stop it. Well, they didn't stop it. So let them be a stripper down the goalpost or whatever.
Well, if you ever wanted to know what Corey's up to on a Friday night, here you go.
I'm going
to
go look for a slump buster tonight. Somebody texted that in. It's a clerical collar, by the way.
You want to make your way to Freebirds in Irving in the next 20 minutes. Corey might be waiting on
I am not in a slump.
Oh, man. Well, good for
maybe
you.
That first segment yesterday, I was in a bit of a slump,
yeah,
but I got out of it
yeah,
pretty quickly.
Tell me about
took
it.
Took us to Funky Town for sure.
Yeah, tell me about it. And then I have to play this one. Kevin, thank you for existing.
I'm fine if the bear is telling you weird sex things, as long as it's not murdering you.
Oh, this is about Detective Teddy Ruxpin Bear, right?
I stand by this, and I can see people looking at me and thinking I should be embarrassed. False.
Embarrassed.
I am not embarrassed.
Funny.
Stop. False.
Embarrassed.
Because.
Stop.
Yo, I get to defend my honor. Y'all were talking about how, like, oh, and then the bear got into some erotica or whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's not cool. That's not what I want from my bear. But if it's that, or what happened in Imaginary, where that bear killed some people, I'll take the first option.
Valid. I think it's valid.
Huh. All right, I guess it's time to vote.
I'm going to vote for the thumbs.
Oh.
It's not what I heard the other day.
Huh, interesting.
I have thumbs. I do.
Thanks for that, Corey.
At the moment, too.
Huh. Does it feel like that's where that phrase came from?
He's
got two thumbs and likes this guy. And that feels like the origin story to that saying right there. Is Corey going, I have thumbs.
I have thumbs.
I am going to vote for Corey saying that he has two Johnsons.
That's not what I said at all. I was talking about the Eagles. So I just think it's amazing they have two Johnsons. One is the starter, and then the other Johnson just like, I got you. Don't worry about it. I'll fill in. I didn't even think about that part.
Yeah.
You know, Alec, this reminds me of another discussion we had on KNC once, because my goal right now is to really clear this restaurant out. Is we talked about the gal from Total Recall who had three boobs. And Colby's just really clear contention was he wished the other one was on the back. So, like, when you were dancing, you could just kind of hold it. And that kind of made sense to me.
By the way, our extra credit instructor is made his way over here. So congratulations to that class. Hopefully they all learn.
And congratulations to you, Corey, because you are the masterpiece of the week.
So I just think it's amazing they have two Johnsons. One is the starter, and then the other Johnson just like, I got you. Don't worry about it. I'll fill in.
Haven't we all been there in our lives?
No. No, we haven't.
You are a liar.
Not at all.
You are both liars. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Oh, you're so pretty. Coming up next, we will chit-chat with the fellas from the GVAC Nation. Next on The Fan.
Fake pitch. Going deep. There's a shot for Pickens. He got pushed. He cocked the ball to the post. Touchdown to Pickens. Dagger.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time to chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Wonderful, Hagee. Thank you so much for asking.
So we didn't get a chance to do this a little bit earlier. If there's something that pops into your mind besides Cowboys-Eagles at the NFL, collegiate, or even high school level, is there a football game you're most looking forward to this weekend? Like, I know, for example, for some of the SEC, it's Cupcake Week and a lighter college schedule than usual.
Yeah, I mean, I think USC-Oregon's interesting, even though I feel like Oregon will probably be able to just run all over them, and USC won't be able to do much about it. So from a college perspective, I would say that game. Does OU have a little bit of a letdown situation after the incredible victory over Alabama? But I think they're considerably better than Mizzou.
Does Texas-Arkansas do anything for you? I know Arkansas is not great, but I'm interested in that one.
Yeah, Arkansas played Texas really well last year. Now, that game was at home, and then Texas was able to win the fourth quarter. But I got a couple of friends that are going out to that one in Austin. And, I mean, that's an old-school rivalry. That's always fun. Conference.
Yeah, Heggy, you're hoping Arkansas wins so Texas will quit against you guys. I know what you're doing there.
1,000,000%.
Yeah, you're hoping that Texas gets a little beat up, maybe loses the game, and then gets really discouraged, and they're all over Sark all week. That's what you're hoping for. I know what you're doing,
right.
Yeah, I know.
You are right.
I am excited. I am excited for Broadus's prediction about Myles Garrett potentially getting a sack on every single play versus the Raiders on Sunday. I think that's definitely plausible.
It's crazy that he has a 4-sack game, 5-sack game, and if you're looking at the numbers, you're like, he might be able to beat both of those.
That's wild. If Stone Forsythe's out there playing left tackle, and then Glaze at right tackle, he will break the record in the first half.
What about on the pro level? I'm also really intrigued by Colts Chiefs.
Yes.
I know we keep waiting and they're like, oh, they got Mahomes and it's going to be great and everything. If the Chiefs lose and the Cowboys win, the Cowboys will have a better record going into that Thanksgiving game.
Which is crazy because the Chiefs are still tied for, the third best Super Bowl odds right now?
Yeah, they're still up there.
So, and honestly, the one that I'm really looking at, because if the Cowboys are going to win, it does have a lot of wild card implications, is Panthers 49ers on Monday night. Because the Panthers are 6-5. They've got a head-to-head against you. Niners at 7. Like, those are the two teams that are directly ahead of you in the standings right now. Also with the Bucks. I mean, that NFC South, now all of a sudden the Bucks just a half game up on the Panthers. Bucks-Rams on Sunday Night Football. But both those primetime games could have big implications on the Cowboys' postseason chances.
Man, what do you find fellas got coming up on the program today?
Oh, pure gold as always, Hagee. Yes. Thank you so much for asking.
Somebody said it.
We got Stephen Jones, of course, coming up at 3 o'clock, and Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram at 4:20.
I love it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us on Monday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.